This one's good if it goes.
Oh, it did! Holy
cow!
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go!
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
I guess you gotta hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy!
Oh, they got it!
Jones! Oh,
yes!
Oh,
I can't believe it! Are you serious?
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside. I am Seth Greenberg, and I am honored to be joined by my good friend Jay Wright, Olympic gold medalist and Hall of Famer. Now, Jay boy, I got a question. Let's go to the first things first. The Olympics. 37 days, a journey to a gold medal. Didn't exactly start the way you guys wanted. How did you get those guys to buy in such a short period of time after struggling early on?
It was wild. First of all, Seth, great to be with you, man. And I love you wearing that. You look good in that Villanova.
What do you think, man? What do you think? Jackie G would be proud of me.
Thank God Jackie G takes care of you, man. She looked way better in it than you, but that's good. And she's a lot smarter, man. She's a lawyer.
She got her mom's brains. There's no doubt about it. Thank goodness.
Villanova girl.
She got her mom's brains.
Beautiful Villanova girl, lawyer, just like my wife, Patty. I love it. To answer your question, I don't think anyone could really imagine what that was like. And you know, from the beginning, Jerry Colangelo and Pop and Sean Ford putting the team together, you know, with the NBA season going longer, the guys knowing that we were going to be in COVID protocols because of the serious situation in Japan, certain guys thought they were going to play, then they got injured. Certain guys thought they were going to play, and then free agency got moved back, so they didn't, you know, they were going to be free agents. Certain guys got hurt, during the playoffs, and so we always had a team that we thought we were going to have, and then we kept changing. Kevin Love gets there, he gets hurt, Bradley Beal gets COVID, we lose. It was a disaster ready to happen, Seth. I'm telling you, to watch Pop keep this together, Jerry Colangelo, Sean Ford, it was incredible. And I hope someday when the story is told, if you play for USA Basketball, you're just expected to win the gold. Yeah. But what Kevin Durant, Dame Lillard, Draymond Green, what these guys did, it's what they sacrificed. Their families couldn't come. Usually when these guys play in the Olympics, their families come with them. They were locked in the hotel the entire time, had to test every day. It was incredible the sacrifices they made. It was the greatest accomplishment that I've witnessed or been a part of in coaching and as a team aspect ever in my career.
I mean, like, you lose to Nigeria, then you lose the opening game. Like, all of a sudden, I mean, the pressure's got to be just crazy. And like, even in the opening game, you couldn't, you guys didn't guard the way you normally guard. You couldn't kind of like, were they just trying to find it between new rosters and just getting an identity of like, how are we going to do this with this ever-changing roster? Because, I mean, like, watching from afar, you can't imagine what you guys are going through. Like, earlier you told me about, like, you guys couldn't go out to dinner. You couldn't, you were quarantined in your rooms. The team was quarantined in their rooms. So how do you develop that identity and that toughness that you needed to kind of carry you through to end up obviously winning the gold?
It was, I want to say this to answer your question, not to make excuses, really, so that people can see what these guys overcame. But when we played Nigeria, we just got there. The guys, Kevin Durant ended his season, and probably thank God they didn't advance because we had them the whole time, but they took some time off. They just played a long NBA season. And they came in and nobody was in shape and they weren't supposed to be. We were going to work into shape and we purposely put the schedule together that way. Mike Brown was coaching Nigeria. He had them together for a month. They were in great shape. They were ready to play. And, we also had guys in COVID protocol during that time that people didn't know. When we went to Japan, nobody knows this, but some of the guys didn't travel with us on the flight because they were back in Vegas on COVID protocol because of losing Bradley Beal. They were close contacts to Bradley Beal. So we got over there. We had guys from the G League who did a great job for us. And the first game was against France, who was really good. That night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, we played France at 9 p.m. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Devin Booker, they flew in 14 hours at two. They didn't practice with us. It was Kevin Durant gets three fouls on unbelievable calls in the first half. It was, as I said to you, it was a disaster ready to happen. To see these guys pull it together, like Pop put together a little mini camp after the France game, when we got the three guys from the NBA championship, when we got them to join the team, we had Iran and Czech Republic, and Czech Republic was good. We had to win those games to even advance to the medal round, but Pop put together a little like mini camp there. That was our only practice we got together, and it was genius the way he did it. And those guys joining the team, what they did to us, as well as JaVale McGee just joined the team. It was really cool to watch all this happen. And I think being an NBA coach, having Steve Kerr, and we had Jeff Van Gundy, we had Ime Udoka, we had Lloyd Pierce, to see them figure out limited practice time, how to use film, how to use limited practice time to get these guys to understand what our defensive schemes were going to be, put our offense in, was really cool. You and I, as college coaches, we need like 30 days of practice to do that. Maybe. It was amazing to watch them do it.
I needed a year. That's why I'm sitting here and you're sitting there.
You did it very well, brother. You did it very well.
What can you take away? Your last thing on that. What thing can you take away with your guys moving forward? Because, I mean, you got it. You got to look. You got all those KG veterans, those grad transfers. I mean, those grad seniors. But you also, you know, have a little bit of a new team, some new roles. What can you learn from that experience, being around that NBA mindset, that can help you with your guys?
Well, as everyone knows, Pop is a genius at that. And, you know, the longer, you know, we spent really like 4 years together, you know, preparing for the world game, the World Cup, and then preparing for these Olympics, and they got delayed. So we had an extra year, maybe it was 5 years, but his genius is knowing each guy individually, knowing how that guy fits into the team, and then keeping all those individuals thinking team. And as you know, on the NBA level, that's a whole new challenge. It's easy to talk about, but it takes time. He was really patient with these guys, getting them to that point. Like Seth, the last couple games when we were playing Spain to get to the semifinal, Australia, who had their best team ever in the semifinals, and then France in the finals, to see where Pop got those guys, those last three scouting reports preparing for those games, they were so dialed in on team. It started with Kevin Durant, but it was Pop. It took we didn't have that for Nigeria. We didn't have that for Australia the first time. By that time, they were so ingrained in thinking team because he had dealt with them all as individuals that it was amazing to watch them prepare for a game. That's what I'm going to take.
That's awesome. All right. Orange is not exactly a great your favorite color, I would think, but it's become a pretty good color. So, I mean, like right now, and I want to kind of make it difficult for you, but like if Coach Mass was here seeing you tonight, what would you say to him?
You're right. You made it difficult. You're right. I can't even think of him and think of all of these things that are happening to me, you know, without getting emotional. I just know if not for him hiring me as an assistant, just hiring me first, that, you know, none of this happens. Then taking the time to teach me and mentor me all the way through my career, even after I stopped working for him. If not for that, none of this happens. You know, and you know, you all you can say is thank you. But as you know, when you spend that much time for somebody with someone and they're a coach, they know the impact they had on you and they know when you appreciate it. And he and I had that great bond. And my guys, even my wife, Patty, jokes with me sometimes, you know, anytime he'd be around, you know, I would be 56 years old. And they're like, Jay, you're not his assistant anymore. But you know, in our business, when you have that guy, you're always his. He's always the head coach. You're always his assistant.
Yeah. What would he say to you, think, today?
Yeah. He'd be busting your chops,
I'm sure.
Yeah. In his old age, you know, he got really soft and sentimental. Like, he'd be around my team and I'd see him like hugging the guys, Mr. Nice Guy. And I'd tell the players, like, yo, this is not the guy that I work for. So now he would get emotional, you know, and I know he'd say how proud he is. But in his prime, he'd be like, come on, Strappy. Yeah, well, who do you think you are? You're not that big. You know, he'd be busting my chops in his prime.
I was in your office one day when his team was coming, getting ready to come down. It was right before, actually, because I wanted to ask you about summer jam. And Coach was on the phone with you, and he was negotiating with you who was going to be there, tickets, hotel rooms.
Who was going to pay for the officials?
The officials. I still remember when you were done, you turned to Arlene, she said, whatever he needs, we'll take care of it.
Exactly. I have my athletic coach saying, Jay, he doesn't work for Villanova. He's still the head coach, man. Just get him whatever he needs. And everybody always took care of him at Villanova.
So, hey, you just got off Summer Jam. I had a chance to experience that one time with you when I was when Jackie was at school. Explain what Summer Jam is to you and what it means to Villanova. Because I think it's incredible. Like, some people have guys back, but what you do and the breadth of what you do in terms of putting your arms around all of Villanova basketball is incredible.
It's our favorite day of the year. It's a day that we always have the beginning of August, so we can get it before the guys that are playing European basketball have to go, while our guys are still on campus, our players, and the NBA guys haven't started yet. So we get all of our former coaches, former players, former managers, anybody that was a part of the program all comes back. We play golf in the morning. Then we come back and they have an open gym where the coaches can't be there. The pros and the current team set up a pickup game, and no one's allowed in the gym to watch except all the former players, former coaches, and they're all in there. That we can't be there, and they play each other. And then afterwards, we have a big party and, you know, a dinner. And what it does, Seth, is it just keeps everybody connected. And what I've learned over the years is the older guys, you know, you got guys like, you know, Chris Ford, Tom Inglesby, Billy Melchione, you know, guys that were legends in their day. They love meeting these young guys. They love seeing the freshmen, meeting the freshmen. It keeps all the classes connected. And now you got so many guys that are coaching in the NBA. They come back, stay connected to everybody. It keeps the Villanova basketball family tight. And it's a commitment everybody has to come back to that. Like Jeremiah Robinson Earl this year flew in from LA the night before just to be there for the day, and then flew out the next day, you know. And it means the world to me that those young guys come back, because I know they know how much it means to the older guys. And I keep telling them, you're going to be one of those guys one day, and you're going to want the young guys to come back.
What do you think those old guys would think of NIL?
Oh, yo, they were.
I know it had to come up.
Oh, it did. You imagine guys like Kerry Kittles and Tim Thompson, like, oh man, what I could have done when I was in school, you know, Eddie Pinckney, those guys, they're blown away. But what's kind of cool to me is how happy they all are for the current players. It's a great feeling. I see that the older guys feel like, you know what, I had my day. I want to help these guys, you know, like to see, you know, like guys will grab guys by their position. You know, even if they played, you know, 20 years ago, they'll look at like Calvin Byrd or Curtis Sumpter grabs, you know, Sadiq Bey. They were kind of similar players. Curtis Sumpter grabs Brandon Slater. I just saw them at Summer Jam talking to him, and they get into them too. They're like, yo, you're playing my spot now. You know, you got, this is what you got to do, but they really want to help them. And they do like seeing these guys benefit from NIL.
Yeah. It's, does that change how you coach? I was wondering, like, will that change how, like transfer portal, NIL, it's just other, there's more static, say, around an 18, 19, 20 year old kid. I mean, you can only be good at so many things. I mean, you got school, you got your game, you got to work on your game. Like, I did give a talk the other day to a school, said, you know, are you playing for fame? Or you're playing for the love of the game. Because if you're not playing for the love of the game, then you're not playing to win. But how do you keep, you know, and that's kind of a big thing now. As I visit with schools, like getting those guys to understand that, you know, they got to defend their brand and they got to defend that V. And they've got to make sure that, you know, their decisions are in line, because if not, one bad decision today and it all goes.
Yeah.
How do you keep them to compartmentalize school? Because, I mean, there's no shortcuts to your place. Working on your game, because they're, you know, let's face it, after they're done, they're only, if they don't work on their game, then this is a short-lived thing. And then playing to win and eliminating a little bit of stuff. How hard, like, is that a new thing, like, you know, whether it's working with Pop and the NBA guys or asking questions? How do you deal with that?
You know, it's interesting. As I said, we were in quarantine for 37 days. So we had literally ate every meal together, sat in the same seats, watched film, had meetings. So we had a lot of times, you know, and we drank some wine late night.
Yeah, and it was good wine. It was Pop was involved.
Yes. He had it imported in Tokyo. But so, you know, you had a lot of conversation, great basketball conversations. But about, when you talk to those guys about NIL, they thought the NBA guys were like, wow, this is way more of a distraction than what we deal with, because our roles are defined. Like, those guys, their business is off the court. We don't have anything to do with that. They take care of the business. We take care of basketball. It has completely changed what the role of a college coach is. And, you know, not in a bad way, but you and I came back. We were simply educators and teachers of the game and of life. That's what college coaching was. Now you become advisors, you know, in entrepreneurship. But we're still over everything educators. And I would not be honest if I was saying to you, we have this all figured out. We're monitoring this right now. But what we're trying to do is stay true to our culture. And the things that our guys do, we want them to be educational, business-minded, networking for their future in business, and not overwhelming them with just being branded on social media, because that takes up a lot of time. Those social influencers, they have to spend a lot of time on that. And to your point, we still have to spend our time growing as a person, as a student, and being the best player you can be. So how do we optimize that financially so they can make as much money as they can, but they still can become the best student, the best player, and the best person they can be? That's our plan. We're winging it right now, and we're communicating with them about this all the time.
Yeah, it's just really interesting. Speaking of your team, right? Grad transfers, or, you know, grad fifth year guys, like, you know, obviously Colin and obviously Jermaine, balancing your team. I mean, you do have guys back.
Yeah,
and you've got guys back that played significant roles. Obviously, getting Colin back, you know, getting Jermaine back is really important. Getting Justin back, maybe Brian Antoine. Where's your team at now? I mean, you were away from 37 days. Obviously, you have an experienced staff, and, you know, although you added another piece to your staff, by the way, and he did a great job with the freshman orientation. I saw that video.
And wasn't that cool?
That was really good. That's a great video, big time video. But like those 37 days away from your guys, where are you at with this team, and what's your expectation? I saw that Collins back full go. What's your expectation? Because I looked at your schedule. Yeah, obviously you have a long term contract. Holy
thank God. Thank God we got a long term contract with that schedule, right? But and you know, we wouldn't have done that until we knew Colin and Jermaine were coming back right. to complete it. Because you want to give those guys every chance. We always have a tough schedule because the Big Five is a part of it, but this will be the most difficult schedule we ever had, and it's gonna be fun. It's interesting. As you know, we so far have not really been impacted by the transfer portal either way. We haven't brought new guys in, and we haven't lost many guys. Now, we lost Cole Swider this year, and really the only reason was he was going to be a returning senior this year and anticipated that Jermaine Samuels and Colin wouldn't be here, so he'd probably be a starter. You know, so he, you know, he said, I might never start, you know, and I said, I get it. I don't want to lose you, but that had a, you know, their impacts, like the freshman class coming in, we're thinking those guys weren't going to be here. So you got to keep that in mind as a coach that, you know, we're happy that those guys are coming back, but there's everybody's role changes. Yeah. So, you know, no matter how good you are, you're bringing back two great leaders that have really been impactful in college basketball. Both have pro potential. So that's kind of what we're working on right now is chemistry. You know, we're going to have more guys ready to play. You and I have talked about this all the time. Depth is really about who is efficient. How many guys do you have that are efficient that can play? We all have 13 scholarship guys, but you know, six or seven of them might not be ready. So that doesn't count as depth. But this year, we really have the depth where everybody's ready to play. So I think a great challenge for us is, you know, a guy like Justin Moore is ready to step into a leadership role. And he's going to be able to do that. How do the other guy young? There's some young freshmen, Jordan Longino and Nana Njoku. You know, those guys and Trey Patterson, who joined us last year, that are kind of ready to step in and play. They might not get as much time as they normally would if those guys didn't stay. So the chemistry is going to be huge for us.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're getting guys to understand winning Villanova basketball, the attitude part of it, you know, just the things that you guys do better than anyone else. You know, I think part culture, part, you know, for people that haven't been to practice, I mean, your practices are as fundamentally committed as any I've ever seen. And I've, over the last, this is my 10th year now doing this stuff. I'm undefeated for 10 years. Like you run your practices a good part of it, like almost camp work in terms of you guys are going to do certain things, the things that are important to you, you guys are going to be incredibly good at. And how hard is it for those freshmen, even though you're there, because when you say Jermaine, I was there when Jermaine was a freshman. All right. And, you know, now I watch him now and the dude's a flat winning player. And I mean, like, and his head was ready to explode as a freshman. So, I mean, like this summer, like how, now that you had a full summer with these guys, obviously now with the COVID restrictions were lifted amongst your team some, what was their transition like? And obviously having Jermaine and Colin back and Jermaine, just your guys in general, you know, Justin back, how was that like for them? And like when you came back 37 days later and, you know, you're doing some work with them in a gym, did they look different? Did they think different? Did they act different? You know, I mean, because that's the key to your place, because, I mean, they've got to play a certain way, be a certain way, carry themselves a certain way, or they're not going to fit.
Yeah, you hit on some great points. You know, great Jermaine Samuels story. You talk about his head exploding as a freshman. He tried to do everything right, and one day he just blew up because, I just want to ball out. That was his way of saying, just like, I don't want to have to think. I just want to go play pickup, you know? So we always hold that. I can tell that story because he's old enough now, and we hold that over his head. He laughs about it all the time now. and he's become one of our most fundamentally sound guys. But it, you know, it's just, there's so many ways to go through college basketball. Like, I remember, you know, I know your Virginia Tech teams did it, but I, in my mind, those Long Beach State teams with the kid Russell, they were so good defensively and so fundamentally sound offensively, yet great athletes. And that's why he played the way he did in the NBA, because he was so fundamentally sound and he was one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Right. And it's kind of the same thing. It's a unique path when you come to Villanova. It's like you want to learn to be a fundamentally sound player, and then you want to become that kind of player in the NBA. And you understand that that takes time. And to your point about our assistants, you know, Mike Nardi, George Halkovich, and Dwayne Anderson, you don't get to see this often, but I could tell they did a great job. We set up our summer so that I could spend as many days with them in the beginning as I could, but then I was going to be away the month of July. So that when we came back at the end of August and started working out, I could see some of the fundamentals we were teaching them early, that by when I left, they were okay. Not great. They needed a lot of work. When we started working out in August, I hadn't seen them for a month. But what I did hear is some of the blow-ups, like you talked about, like some of the heads exploding. When I'm in Tokyo and I'm calling home, they're like, Nana's head exploded today. You know? But now I see them when I come home, and I can see the development and what a great job our assistants did and what a great job these young guys, our freshmen, did. And it's really cool to see, because very rarely are you away from your own program that long that you can actually see that change. When you're with them every day, you don't see it. And it was really cool. And I thought the guys did a great job. We got a young guy, Angelo Brizzi, another guy from Virginia, that he was sick and hurt. And even him, he missed a lot, but I could even see a difference in him when I came back at the end of August.
Last thing, just finish up with the Hall of Fame. You're in, people that are presenting you, explain them. I think it's, quite honestly, I mean, I looked at it. It was awesome. One guy, even more, you know, the King. What a great touch. But explain those guys, and then, you know, I know you're crazy busy, but I really appreciate you doing that.
There's so many great people. Imagine you're going to have to do this one day. I know, because you're going to wind up doing. Being Kirk Gowdy, winner, but you think about all the people in your career and your life. There's so many, you know, and so many of those guys that are Hall of Famers you run across in your career. You got to pick a Hall of Famer or a couple. So what I thought about was, like, you know what? To boil it all down, I grew up in Philly. I'm a part of Philly basketball. I'm going to stay in Philly. I'm not going anywhere. So, like, it's just a tribute to Philadelphia basketball. Herb McGee just exemplifies the Philadelphia basketball family to me. Grew up in the Catholic League, played in the Big Five, stayed here forever, coach, Hall of Famer, best teacher ever. And then Charles Barkley in Philly, you know, we all, you know, the Sixers are the thing in Philly. Like, he was arguably one of the greatest players ever to play, but he just loves Philly, and he's so much a part of the Philly basketball scene. And we all love him, and he's meant a lot. Plus, he's a good friend of Patty of mine's, and his daughter, Christiana, is a Villanova girl.
Right, that's right.
And then Billy Cunningham, to me, is having Coach Mass. You know, like, yeah. Those two were inseparable. Like, and Coach Mass, he didn't listen to any, he wouldn't listen to anybody. Like, he wouldn't take advice from anybody except Billy C and Mrs. Massimino. And so, you know, Billy C has always looked over me, because Coach Mass, he knows what I meant to Coach Mass and what he means to me. So Billy C, having him there, represents Coach Mass to me. And then George Raveling is just everything a Villanova basketball player you'd ever want him to be, and everything you'd want a Villanovan to be. And he was a big part of Philly basketball. Like he brought a lot of great players to Villanova and to Philadelphia. And he just represents Villanova to me. And if you see what he did with it, that he donated the Martin Luther King Jr. speech to Villanova. Do you know the impact that that's going to have? He is an amazing man. So have those four there with me is going to be incredible.
Coach Raff, you know, Brad played for him at Washington State.
Yep.
Yeah. His first signing. Yeah, Coach.
He was his first signing?
It was his first signing at Washington. He came into the house. He was from Brad a little bit from Maryland. He came into the house, and my mom just said, "You're going to go play for him."
I can see it, man.
I mean, it was literally, I mean, it was like he mesmerized, you know, it was over. It was unbelievable. And then obviously he came back and played for Coach Lyon, another Philadelphia legend when he transferred home. But I mean, think about Brett, New York City to Washington State, and that's the all-time greatest sales job. When an old Jewish lady tells her son to go to Pullman, Washington, you know Coach Rad was unbelievable. I mean, you think
that's
about
awesome. That. Awesome. That is true. That might be one of the great recruiting crews of all time. Jewish kid from Long Island going out to Washington State.
Unbelievable. Well, hey, Jay, I appreciate you doing this, man, and congratulations. Enjoy it. It's so well deserved, and I know so many people are proud of you, and I know Coach is looking at you.
Thanks, brother. Tell the girls I said hello.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.